Mormon Journal, Downhill Toward Disaster, by Brent W. Case. I've been working the past 5 weeks for my brother-in-law logging up the Monte Cristo Canyon on my days off from the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office in Kemmer, Wyoming. My wife was insistent one particular morning that I not go. I thought it was just because it would be the first week she wasn't going to spend with me at the logging camp. But I later found out she had felt something bad was going to happen. When I arrived at the camp, the workday started out normally, but soon we were plagued by small inconveniences and breakdowns. Since the section of the mountain we were logging was too steep for equipment to access, we were doing what is called highline logging. A heavy cable is suspended 20 to 50 feet above the surface of the steep hill, running from a derrick at the top of the mountain to a spar tree at the bottom of the valley. A smaller cable rides down the main line on a block pulley. When the block hits what's called a button, which is essentially a pulley that locks on the main cable, the smaller cable releases to the ground. We then attach it to three or four logs so they can be pulled to the top of the mountain, where machinery can get to them. We can get only so many logs in one area before the button must be moved. One of the many breakdowns that morning had been our radios, so we were using hand signals to communicate. The time came when we needed to move the button, and we signaled for the main line to be lowered. The button came down within my reach, but still over my head. I decided to unlock the button, even though it was still too high. Standing on a steep embankment, I unlocked the 60-pound button, and its weight immediately tried to pull me down the steep incline. As I struggled to gain control of the button, a gust of wind caused the main cable to whip, lifting me off my feet. Instantly, I was airborne, still hanging onto the button and quickly picking up speed as I sailed down the line toward the spar tree below. I looked for a place to jump, but as I looked 50 feet below, all I could see were tall, pointed trees sticking straight up at me. I glanced up in time to see I was about to hit the gigantic spar tree at about 35 miles an hour. Spotting one large limb that extended from the side of the tree, I thought I might be able to grab the limb and avoid falling to the ground. I let go of the button with one hand and reached for the limb. The impact dislocated my arm and flipped me upside down. As I spun, something hit the back of my head and everything went black. When I hit the ground at the base of the tree, the impact threw me 20 feet across an old logging road. I came to lying on my stomach and unable to breathe. For a minute, I couldn't remember who I was or what had happened to me. I heard a faint voice asking me if I was all right. Having difficulty breathing, I asked to be rolled over. The pain was so great, I blacked out again. I woke up again, this time lying on my back in the middle of the logging road with no feeling from my hips down. There were cuts and bruises all over my body, and I continued to slip into unconsciousness from the pain. I said a simple prayer and asked Heavenly Father to help me. When I opened my eyes, there was Ethan Call. It was his first day logging. I remembered my wife had told me Ethan had returned from serving a mission. I asked him to give me a blessing. As he began the blessing, a sense of calm came over me. I was unconscious during most of the blessing, but I recall hearing Ethan bless me that my body would be made whole. I felt as if my body were being pieced back together. The pain was now bearable, and I was able to breathe again. I lay there knowing it would be a long wait. A man had already started down the mountain for help, but it was a 2-hour drive to the nearest phone. I closed my eyes and said another simple prayer, asking Heavenly Father to speed the help I so desperately needed. Driving down the mountain, the man who had been sent to get help happened across a paramedic who was out for an afternoon drive. The paramedic contacted the Weber County Sheriff Department on his high-powered radio. They, in turn, contacted the main hospital in Ogden, Utah, and a life flight helicopter was dispatched. The paramedic immediately began first aid. He started an IV and stopped my bleeding. Within a half hour, the helicopter was circling overhead. After a few passes, they radioed that the only place to land was a half mile up the old logging road. My blood chilled at the thought of riding in a truck up that dirt road. I again prayed for help. The pilot circled one last time and decided to try to land closer. He was able to land just 50 feet from me. 15 minutes later, I arrived at the hospital emergency room. Doctors started more IVs and put me on oxygen. They pumped blood out of my stomach for 3 hours. In all, there were 4 doctors and 2 specialists working on me for over 6 hours. To the amazement of the doctors, initial x-rays showed no broken bones. Plus, there appeared to be no internal injuries. They performed more tests with meticulous x-rays from my neck to knees and a series of CAT scans. Baffled again, they found nothing. Later in my intensive care room, the doctors told me that because of the severe trauma my body had been through, I wouldn't be able to walk for several weeks. That night, Brian, my brother, gave me another blessing. During the blessing, I received a strong witness that I would be all right. The next day, I stood and walked. I also said another prayer, this time a prayer of thanks. I was not sure why my life had been spared, but I thanked Heavenly Father for the power of the priesthood and for His help and love. Struggling to say I'm sorry, name withheld. Someone once said that the most important commandments for us to try to keep are the ones we have the most difficulty keeping. For me, one such commandment is found in 3 Nephi chapter 12, verses 23 through 24. Therefore, if ye shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. As a new member of the church at age 19, I was conscientiously trying to do what was right, and most of the time it was easy to be good. I had no difficulty keeping the word of wisdom, attending church, praying, and reading my scriptures. Then one day I found myself facing a spiritual challenge. I was a freshman in college living in one of the dormitories when I befriended another young woman. However, one day she did something that greatly offended me. I was angry and made a quick decision to end her friendship. I avoided her whenever possible, wanting nothing more to do with her. I felt justified in my actions. After all, she had been in the wrong. But the scripture in 3 Nephi chapter 12, verses 23 through 24, kept surfacing. It's surprising how specific scriptures become vivid in one's mind at certain times. I couldn't eat, sleep, or study in peace. This went on for a few days until I finally decided to face the situation. I knew what I needed to do, and I prayed for Heavenly Father's help. The walk to my friend's room seemed long. My heart was pounding, and my palms were sweating as I knocked on her door. Secretly, I hoped she wasn't in her room, but she was. She opened the door and let me in. She looked glad to see me, but I wasn't glad to see her. Gathering all my nerve and swallowing my pride, I explained that she had offended me, but that I wanted to reconcile our differences and renew our friendship. To my surprise, she didn't even know she had made me angry. Then she started to cry. I felt ashamed. I realized I was the one who needed to ask for forgiveness. I had made a hasty judgment. We hugged and asked one another's forgiveness. The gloom I had felt lifted, and a feeling of peace came into my heart. This lesson on forgiveness turned out to be a precursor to a larger challenge I would soon face. My father and I had a terrible argument, and we stopped speaking to each other. I was sure my father would never apologize. In fact, there were already 2 relatives he never spoke to as a result of earlier disputes. I would need to take the first step. But I felt hurt and believed I was not in the wrong. Why should I give in first? I thought. Then the familiar scripture in Nephi came into my mind again. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me. I knew I should not carry this grudge with me. I had to let go of my pride, or I would not progress spiritually. Going to my father to apologize was one of the hardest things I had ever done. My pride was so strong, it seemed I had to force the words from my mouth. But the words came, and again the gloom I had felt disappeared. Later, conversation became easier, and my father received me gladly. I realized he loved me, but because of his pride, he had been unable to say he was sorry. I'm grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the ability it has given me to forgive and ask forgiveness. How sad it would be to allow pride to keep us away from those we love.